It has been way too long. Welcome back to the CTB Show, Season 3. That feels good to say. Feels good to sit in this chair again. Feels good to sit beside you, Christian Catanacci. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Pac. I'm doing great. And yeah, it does. It feels amazing. I wish we queued up some Eminem, Guess Who's Back.
Maybe we'll throw that track in the beginning.
Maybe, you know. You never know. It's very fitting. And you know what? As excited I am to be next to you right here, I'm even more excited because sitting in this chair means that it's football time.
Football is back. I can smell it, and it's funny because when draft season ends and we wrapped up season 2 of this podcast, I'm not going to say it's like a sense of relief because that sounds ridiculous, because I mean, like, at the end of the day, we talk football, and that's just so much fun. But the season does tend to become a grind as it goes along. But after just a couple months of boring, nothing NFL news or content, you just get this hunger again. And as August rolls around and that first preseason game gets on TV, it's like, wow, we have waited so long for this. I can't wait for every Sunday. You know, you hear Scott Hansen's voice. Wow, like I'm so fired up week one, because it is right here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a point in the off season where stuff seems like it's super slow, but I feel like as soon as like July hits, July is like over and August is over. Like, essentially, you know, it's August 29th here as we sit down and record this podcast. And I mean, well, let's talk a little bit about the summer, Pac. What did you do this summer? Anything exciting?
Like you said, it flew by. The weather here, I think it kind of sucked. It feels like it rained every day.
It did.
But you know what? I can't complain. I had some fun. Got out on the golf course a little bit. Shaved zero strokes off my game.
I think I got worse.
I'm worse. I'm way worse than I was before, which is weird, because I, you know, when you're as bad as me, it's hard to get worse. But I'm doing it each and every week. It was good, though. I mean, got to do that. So obviously, we run our football league here in Vaughan, which has been great. A couple weeks left of that still. But yeah, very, very busy summer. Got away a little bit too, which was nice. But yeah, that's about it. What about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I took a little vacation to Banff, Alberta. First time I tripped over there. I've never actually... People think this is crazy or wild to say, but that was the first time I actually traveled outside of Ontario, like within Canada.
You've never been to Montreal?
I've been to Montreal, but like Montreal, I went when I was 18 years old, because like
that's outside of Ontario.
Nah, but like I don't count that Montreal. Like I drove, like, you know what I mean, like get into an airplane and go somewhere still in Canada. Like every single time I go on an airplane, I will now in past tense, but every single time I have previously been in an airplane, it was to go somewhere not in Canada. And okay. Banff was beautiful, man. It was really, I mean, it was all my girlfriend's idea, but it was something that I didn't think I would have liked as much as I did. Beautiful place out there if you ever get the chance and you enjoy the outdoors. And I'm not even a big outdoors guy, but I enjoyed the heck out of it. I thought it was awesome. But yeah, that golf, VTFL's going strong. Me and Thomas are in the semifinals.
We could face each other.
And you know what? Pox team, I can't beat them for some reason. You know, we're
tied.
We're 0-1-1 against
them. Beat you by 1 point. It's close.
So who knows? Maybe by next episode we'll be previewing.
If we're in the finals,
instead of week one, we're going to be previewing VTFL, JUCO
Division 3 football
finals.
If I'm in the finals, I'm not doing a podcast next week, because I need to lock in. If my team doesn't win, it's because of me. I'm the only reason why. Very, very, very fun summer, I gotta say. Haven't been to Banff, Alberta. It's on the list.
It's a must.
Maybe I'll get there next summer.
No phone service though, which is fine.
You need to get away.
I mean, you're away there, like you don't really need it. But I feel like nowadays, like in today's, which got me, like I was there and I was like, you know what, whatever. Like I don't need it, and I didn't go on my phone that often. But like at night, you don't realize how like dependent we've become on like a little device.
It's ridiculous.
It is. It's crazy, to be honest, because you know, we we finish dinner and stuff. We get into like the cabin after, and like there's literally no cell service. So you're just like sitting there and just go to bed, right? So it's crazy. And I mean, it was kind of embarrassing at a time, but yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was awesome. Again, if you ever wanted to go out there, I highly recommend it. And if you haven't even thought about it, I think you should, because I enjoyed it that much. But yeah, I won't enjoy it as much as week one, which is around the corner. So let's get right into it, Pac. NFL season 2023. We're going to talk superlatives right away. Superlatives. Yeah. You know, it's a fun topic. We go through it, and then we're going to preview season predictions, get all that done. It's going to be a nice action-packed episode for you guys here, and we're going to start right away with superlatives. Pac, you want to go right ahead for the first one?
Yeah, I think this is not on our list, but I think we can all agree that if there were a superlative for best week of the NFL season, it is week one.
Oh, yeah.
I just think watching week one from home, I am going to a couple games this year, but specifically being at home for week one and turning everything on TV again is just like nothing
better. It's the best. It's the best.
But yeah, we are going to get into a couple of NFL superlatives. And like you said, literally just preview the whole entire season, give our predictions. And months later, we'll look back and think about how stupid we were. but let's get into it. We will start off with the biggest sleeper team in 2023.
I'm going to go with the Chicago Bears.
I like it.
You know, they're super intriguing to me. I think that obviously in a perfect world, you see this little jump with Justin Fields. You just added DJ Moore. I mean, they have Khalil Herbert back there, but they also got Roschon Johnson, Dante Foreman. Like, that's a pretty good backfield. Their offensive line is a project, but they have a solid defense. They are a good team that plays at home. Their head coach is good. Like, it's pretty, I don't want to say it's a wide open division, because I know I don't want to tease my next or pick in a little bit later, but the Detroit Lions are in there, and I know a lot of people are high on the Lions, but I just, for some reason, when I see Chicago, in terms of sleeper team, it's like I could see them putting up 11, 12 wins, but I could also see them 7-8 wins. But like, there's a realistic possibility that, in my opinion, that defines what a sleeper team is, and that's the Chicago Bears.
I'm just really interested to see what Justin Fields pulls out in year three. The excuses, I think, are kind of out the window now, because they have upgraded his weapons group. The defense should be a little bit better. Like, this is a team that's spent big.
Yes.
You got to hope that Justin Fields now at this point has taken the expected leaps in his career as a passer, and we know how dynamic and how good he is as a runner. And like you said, not only a wide open NFC North, a wide open NFC in general, these wild card spots are just begging for teams to take them right now with how some of these teams look going into the season. So I think Chicago's a great pick. Really, really into Justin Fields this year, and I think the NFL's better when Chicago's good. So I like that. And I'm going to go to another historic franchise as well. And this is a team that, once again, I don't know how they do it every year. They won 9 games last year despite a brutal start. And it's all because of one man, and that's Mike Tomlin and his Pittsburgh Steelers. Like I said, nobody was sold on this roster last year. There was a point in time where we thought they were going to be picking first overall in the season. They put on a great, great stretch of games late in the season, which, as we all know, that's when it is really hard to win. Kenny Pickett took some nice steps, but year two, he's got George Pickens, who looks like everyone's breakout receiver this year. Of course, Deontay Johnson's still there. You got Allen Robinson coming in, upgraded the O-line. But for me, it's the defense that is going to be the driving force of this team. When TJ Watt is healthy, there are few players, I can count on maybe one hand, the players that are better than TJ Watt in the entire NFL. And I think this team is going to surprise a lot, especially in a star-studded, stacked AFC where maybe they don't have the quarterback in Kenny Pickett that can rival some of these other teams. But I think they're going to turn some heads. And I mean, I think a lot of people are sleeping on the Steelers because we don't hear anyone talk about them when it comes to who can win the AFC North.
I like that pick, to be honest. I'm not necessarily high on the Steelers, but I could see why they would be a sleeper. I like it, Pac. I like it. Biggest disappointment. I'll let you take the reins here, and then I'll follow up.
I think I'm being a little harsh here, but I'll explain my reasoning. And this is doing a complete 180, because last year on the podcast, all year long, and I think I claimed them on the first episode.
You did claim them.
It was Pox Lions. And I have them down as a disappointment. Does that mean I think they're going to miss the playoffs? Not necessarily. But I think we are giving them their glory before they have sort of earned it. And I think when looking at this NFC North, it is anyone's game. Like, legitimately, I think each team has as strong as a case as the next in who's going to win this division. Dan Campbell, love the guy. He still needs to sell me as an upper-tier NFL coach. Jared Goff, is he going to be the Jared Goff of the back half of last season? Is he going to be the Jared Goff of the front half of the season and the year before that, who just really struggled? I think their offensive line is, it could be the best in the NFL, and that's going to help their run game and help their elite playmakers really shine. The defense still has a ways to go. The point I'm just trying to make is they're far from a finished product. I don't think that they're going to run away with this division. It wouldn't surprise me if by, you know, week 17, week 18, they're fighting for their lives and playing against the Vikings or the Packers or the Bears for the division.
It's funny you said that, because the Detroit Lions are my disappointment team too. And I mean, this is not a good look for us, because we're pretty much becoming Detroit Lions Nation.
Listen,
public enemy number one.
I look like haters here, because I do like the Lions.
They're Pox Lions.
I've been on them when they were 0-7. They were my Lions.
Yeah. But look, in order to be disappointing, you got to have expectations. And I feel like some of the expectations that are getting thrown around with the Lions are just a tad too high. Now, will they compete for the division? Yes. But I don't think it's a shoe-in that the Detroit Lions are the next team that are going to run this NFC North. Everyone just said, oh, Aaron Rodgers out of division, it's the Lions' turn. Or Kirk Cousins, everyone's discounting the Vikings again. But again, I think the Lions are a good team, but they do have severe question marks. Like, is Jared Goff really going to do what he did last year, right? Like, people are just expecting him to do exactly what he did last year. And Jared Goff had a fantastic year last year, and they were still short of the playoffs. So, like, what's making you think that the team's just going to take a step up? I like Jared Goff. I think he's a solid NFL quarterback, but is he going to replicate the play of a top 10 quarterback, which statistically he was last year? I just don't know, and that's why, in my opinion, I got to agree with you. I think Detroit Lions are definitely one of the teams that could be, when we're looking back, week 18 is over, week 19, we're looking at the playoffs, and the Detroit Lions aren't in there. And you're looking back and, like, I don't want to say told you so, but I wouldn't be shocked, yeah, right?
And I think something has to be said about expectations too, and I'm glad you brought up that word, because this Lions team has never had that. And it's different. It's a different mindset when you're the underdog and no one's talking about you, and when you're on the national stage and people are expecting you to win each and every week. That week one game, maybe this is my Chiefs bias coming in, but I do think they're in for a rude welcoming to the season on week one against the Chiefs. But anyways, let's get on to the most intriguing team this season. Who do you got?
I got the Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
I think they're such a weird team. I think maybe I'm probably on the side that thinks they're going to do a little bit better than most. But when you talk Cleveland, and in my opinion, what makes an intriguing team is they got a wide range of possibilities, right? Like, let's say we fast forward 4 months and you see Cleveland Browns are 4-13. You'd be like, okay. And, like, you flip that around and in 4 months they're 13-4. You'd be like, okay. But they could also be 8-9 and you'd be like, okay. So I think that's what makes an intriguing team, because you really don't know. And they got a good team. Like, Nick Chubb, Deshaun Watson, Elijah Moore, Amari Cooper. Offensive line is fantastic. And then you look on the defense. Myles Garrett alone is like, what else do you need?
Yeah.
Right? But, and Kevin Stefanski, one hell of a coach. I know a lot of people like to take shots on him, but, like, this guy hasn't had a quarterback. And I mean, Deshaun Watson last year wasn't good, but he was also out of football for 2 years. So it's an intriguing team. Like, how is Deshaun Watson going to look? What is this team as a whole going to look like? Because the division's tough. I mean, you just mentioned Pittsburgh Steelers' defense is fantastic, and I think the Steelers are the worst team in the division, but that's not saying anything. That's not saying, oh, the Steelers suck. It's just that division is good, right? So are they able to compete with the division? I think there's so much intrigue with the Cleveland Browns this year, and I'm so excited to just sit back and watch it and dissect it, because I think they're going to be pretty good, but I also wouldn't be shocked if, again, they the wheels fall off completely and the Browns stay the Browns. And right, I think that's what makes an intriguing team. And I think got Cleveland Browns written all over it personally.
Yeah, I can see both sides of the Browns because I sort of am buying into their roster. But at the same time, personally, I'm just rooting against them. And I think in my mind, that's making me see like, ah, they're not gonna do well. They're not gonna make the playoffs. Someone has to fall behind from the pack in, like I said, a loaded AFC. But I do like the pick. I'm going to go in the NFC, and I think there's so many candidates for this one, specifically in that conference. I do have I had the Chicago Bears written down as one of the two teams I was sort of deciding, but you spoke about them in your sleeper pick. So I'm going to head over to the Atlanta Falcons, and what makes this team so intriguing to me is the investment that they've made on specifically the offensive side of the ball. But also the defense. This defense was really bolstered in free agency. They added some nice key veteran pieces. Calais Campbell comes over, Jesse Bates. And they do have some younger players that I think will step up and overall shape a defense that has struggled the past couple of years. But what makes them truly intriguing is the question marks for me at the two most important pieces of a football team in the NFL, and that's head coach and quarterback. Arthur Smith, you now have built the offense that you want. You invested in a tight end at fourth overall, a wide receiver in the top 10, a running back in the top 10, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson. How is that going to look? Are they going to be this explosive offense with these weapons? Move over to quarterback, Desmond Ridder. I'm not really sold on him yet. Can he be this, you know, can even just be a game manager in the NFL? Because I truly think that is all this team needs. Their division is brutal. I think it's easily the worst in the NFL. It's right there for the taking. What will the Falcons look like? Because yes, I could see them taking the next step. I could see Desmond Ridder using all these weapons around him to really, you know, bolster and take that jump in year two. I think Bijan Robinson is going to make an absolute mess this year. But is that going to mean the Falcons win 9 games and get into the playoffs? Because I truly think that's all it's going to take to win this division.
Maybe even less.
Or are they going to not take a step at all? And then we look back at this team and say, Arthur Smith, Terry Fontenot, you invested in all these offensive weapons early in the draft. We're still not winning games. But with you guys, thank you for your time. We're moving on. Because I think if they have that bad of a season, that could be what happens.
Yeah, I think that whole division is intriguing, in my opinion. So that's a great pick, to be honest. And I think the Falcons are a team that, I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but I think that's a, you don't want to call them a playoff team, because, but they're going to make the playoffs. I think so, at least. But is that going to make the playoffs off of 8 wins, 7 wins? It is what it is. But that division is definitely intriguing. And the Falcons, I think, are the most intriguing team in it. So good pick. And let's just move right on. Biggest breakout player. I'll let you take the reins here. There's a lot of outcomes, right? And it depends on who we're talking breakout, because there's guys that broke out, but are they going to break out into like stardom, or is it guys just going to burst onto the scene? I'm interested to see who you have picked here.
I got Commanders quarterback Sammy Howell.
Ugh.
I'm into this guy. There's something that he's doing that I'm buying, and we know what the Commanders have looked like the last couple of years, just absolute disaster at the position. Am I a fan of Ron Rivera? No. But the Eric Bieniemy offensive coordinator move, something about that comes from Kansas City. I'm not saying he's the reason for all this success. I've actually read a ton of articles about how him and Mahomes sort of butted heads. Yeah. But we look at what Sam Howell has. Terry McLaurin, who is been Mr. Consistent, producing with garbage at the quarterback position. Jahan Dotson, who was a very high pick and extremely explosive in limited usage last year. Then you got this backfield that I think could actually be a two-headed monster and a very, very nice 1-2 punch. You got the power of Brian Robinson, and then you got, you know, the pass-catching ability, the speed, the agility that Antonio Gibson brings over. You start to sort of convince yourself that Sam Howell is actually in this pretty neat situation where he can actually succeed. And like I said, there's a lot of bad teams in the NFC. I think the Commanders have some winnable games on their schedule. I'm starting to buy him as a guy that a year from now we talk about as you know, a franchise quarterback.
Interesting. You know, I don't know how I feel about Sam Howell. I feel like, again, I feel like now, just because he started 1 week last year and looked decent against the backup defense and team in general, I think a lot of people are just placing these expectations on him. So I feel bad for the guy. Because like this, I mean, he started what, like two or three games?
Sure, one game. Just that last game. And then, I mean, he's looked pretty good in the preseason. Everything I've read in camp says that he's looked good.
Yeah, preseason camp. I know. I think he's intriguing. I don't know if he's necessarily going to break out like everyone expects it to him. Because, like, this is rookie year. So, like, how often do you see a quarterback just, like, step right in and be good? And especially, like, now people are placing these expectations. I don't know. I feel like it's a little bit unfair for him. I like the pick because he very well, I could see it. Like, he's got Terry. He's got Jahan Dotson. He's got two running backs that are very good. Good defense that he can rely on. He doesn't necessarily need to put up too many points to win games. I think Washington's going to be in games. I don't think the record. I think the record against the spread will be better than their actual record. But not a bad pick. My breakout player, I have George Pickens, and I think again he had a great year last year. I didn't have the numbers necessarily to back it up, but I think this guy is a superstar. I think he's going to have a fantastic season. The only thing that's holding him back is his quarterback. I don't know how much of an improve Kenny Pickett's going to have from last year to this year. Like last year, he only threw 7 touchdowns. So if he doubles it, it's 14, right? Like how many of those are going to go to George Pickens? I don't know. I just know that George Pickens is going to make plays. And when the ball's going his way, it's going to be big time. And I think he's going to be a huge part of the Steelers this year and for the next decade. It always seems like they just pull these receivers out and from the next one to the next. And I think they got one special in George Pickens.
I love it. And I mean, it goes right with what I said, because the Steelers for me are the biggest sleeper team this season. I almost picked Kenny Pickett for my breakout player. And like you said, yeah, he only threw 7 touchdowns last year. He had some games where he threw some picks. Like, I always felt watching him, because I did watch a lot of Steelers games last year for some weird reason. I always felt he was better than his stat line sort of indicated, and I don't think he was really dealing with a great supporting cast. I think everything around him has improved, plus a healthy TJ Watt. I could see Kenny Pickett. You said if he doubles it, it's only 14. I think he'll throw more than 20 touchdowns this year. I think George Pickens will be around the 7-8 touchdown range. I think in the red zone, he's going to be just absolutely dominant, as long as he's not pushing off, because we've seen a lot of push-off Pickens videos from training camp. But I do like the pick. We got a couple more. I think we have 2 more.
Yeah.
The number one overall pick in 2024 will belong to the...
This is a no-brainer. I think the Arizona It's a complete tank job. You got to respect it. You respect the hustle. Like, they want Caleb Williams. They're going for him. And I expect Kyler Murray to also be in a different team next year, right?
I have the Cardinals here too, and I don't really want to try and sound like I'm going to convince someone it's going to be anybody else, but I did write down a sleeper pick, and maybe they won't be as bad as the Cardinals and get the number one, but we'll say a sleeper pick to pick in maybe the top 3, top 5, the New England Patriots. I think Belichick's best days are behind him. I think this is going to be the ugly support, like the ugly leave will be this year. Mac Jones doesn't have a whole lot. I'm just so out on the Patriots this year.
This marks the CTB show as public enemy number one for the Patriots. And I was on the Patriots side just a year ago. I was on, or maybe,
yeah, I think 2 Mac years Jones' ago. Rookie year when they went to the playoffs. You loved the Patriots.
I loved the Patriots. I loved it. And now, I was reading those comments on our post the other day, and I guess it's only fitting for us to identify ourselves as public enemy number one. I was reading some stories too. They were a lot of hard. They were pretty harsh, you know, but it is what it is. Look, an opinion is an opinion. But the Patriots, I agree, ain't going to be too good.
I just don't know how you can sell them as a team that's going to be able to compete.
Nope. In the AFC. The defense.
They have a good defense, but guess what? So do the Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And those teams are still going to be in some shootouts, even with their defenses. And they have the quarterbacks, they have the weapons to compete in those shootouts. Patriots just have nothing. I mean, yeah, Zeke Elliott is going to be good on the goal line. Your buddy Zeke, that's Juju. Like, come on. I'm just so out on the Patriots. Don't want to waste much more time. Last one first head coach to be fired?
I got Dennis Allen with the New Orleans Saints. I think the Saints are just going to be a little bit disappointing, and it's going to be sort of one of those situations where they probably could wait till the end of the year, but it's just like, why? I think that Dennis Allen is best fit as a coordinator. I'm not too high on the Saints either this year. I know they got Derek Carr, but they're a good team to play at home. They're one of the best. The defense is phenomenal at home, but I just don't know what their ceiling is, and I don't really see them as a special player and a team to make noise in the NFC, and even in that division, I think there's two teams that are better than them in their own division, and that's saying a lot because the division's kind of dog, you know. But it is what it is. It is what it is. Who's your first coach fired?
Jonathan Gannon.
Pew pew pew.
Yeah,
that's a disaster. That's gonna be a disaster.
I mean, not naming a starting quarterback for week one because you want a competitive advantage. First of all, the two guys you're putting to be the starting quarterback, one was traded. You traded for him at the time of recording, August 29th, they traded for him 4 days ago. So never mind the months of OTAs, training camp, for your potential starter to learn the playbook, get comfortable with his receivers, all that's out the window. And you think there is a competitive advantage. What advantage do you have? I think so far, everything I've seen, everything I've read around this Cardinals team, it screams Urban Meyer minus the controversies, because this guy actually seems like a really good dude. Levels of disaster. I'm going to look up the other guy's name. That's how bad. What's his name? Clayton Tune or something?
Yeah, Clayton Tune. Houston. He played for Houston last year in college football.
Are you expecting me to believe that you have a competitive advantage because the Commanders don't know if they're going to be facing Clayton Tune, who's never thrown a pass in the NFL, was barely even drafted, or Josh Dobbs? And listen, Josh Dobbs is a great story. He has a great nickname, and I'm blanking on it now, but it has something to do about how he's an aerospace engineer, super, super smart guy. But last season, he started with the Titans on, like, they got him like a week ago. Like, same exact story. You can't expect anyone to succeed, let alone a, you know, bottom tier starter like Josh Dobbs. If he is even that, to me, he's a backup quarterback. He's a backup
quarterback.
You can't expect any success there, and for Jonathan Gannon to just completely look at the media with a serious face and say, you know, I want a competitive advantage, and I'm not going to tell you who my starting quarterback is for a week one game where we've had, you know, 5 months to prepare for is completely embarrassing. But that's my pick for first head coach to be fired. Will it probably happen? I don't know. He has to be Nathaniel Hackett levels of
bad.
Yeah,
he does.
Urban Meyer bad. Controversy. But I'll give you one more. I think Todd Bowles could also.
That's
I
a
think
good
his
pick
days
too.
Are numbered in Tampa. We'll see if Baker is cooking or not. But anyways, those are our 2023 NFL superlatives.
Feel free to like bookmark this because I'm sure one of us or both of us might be clowned in a couple months, right?
Yeah.
But we won't be clowned as hard as we could be clowned in. Because the next segment is going to be giving out our actual predictions in terms of we're going to go division by division. Not going to spend too much time talking about every single team.
Yeah, I honestly think, I mean, we talked about a bunch of teams earlier. We can sort of rapid fire through just giving our 1 through 4 orders of each division. And I had a lot of fun with this segment. I think I went against the consensus a lot.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
And if last year showed us anything, I mean, the Seahawks were one of the favorites to have the worst record in the NFL. They made the playoffs. The Jaguars, who, you know, were long shots to win the AFC South, they made the playoffs. So I picked some underdogs here, and some of them might be head scratchers, but I'm looking forward to it. We'll start in the AFC. We'll start with the AFC North. What's your order 1 through 4?
I got the Bengals coming out at first. I got the Browns in second place. I got the Ravens in third, and I got the Steelers in fourth. But like in terms of records, like the Steelers are in last place with a record of 8-9. Yeah. And I know they've won, they're over 500 games, whatever it is, but that's got to end soon. But that just shows you how close that division is. I got the Bengals 12-5, Browns 10-7, Ravens 9-8, Steelers 8-9.
I think this will be a good segment because I don't know if there's going to be any division where we have the exact same 1-4 order. Maybe I'm thinking the AFC West might.
Maybe.
But AFC North for me, I got the Ravens winning it.
Interesting.
I'm buying Lamar Jackson this year. I think he is going to absolutely dominate. The Bengals are a great team, but to win a division every year is very tough. Like, the Patriots are an outlier. You can't expect the Bengals to be the Patriots and just cakewalk their way to the division every single year. I think if Lamar is healthy, the Ravens have a great shot to win it. So I got Ravens, Bengals. I got the Steelers in third, my sleeper team. And I am just completely writing off the Browns. And like I said, it's yes, I can convince myself that they're going to be good by their roster, but I just think one of the teams is going to fall off. And in the words of Juju Smith-Schuster, the Browns is going to be the Browns.
So Browns going to be Browns.
Yeah, I'm going to put them in last, even though that did not work out for Juju as well. AFC East, what's the order?
So the AFC East, I got the lovely New York Football Jets. Oh, man. Finishing at the top of the division, I think they're in for a huge season. I think Aaron Rodgers is motivated for the first time in forever, which is crazy to say because he just won back-to-back MVPs like a few years ago. I got the Bills in second. I got the Dolphins. I got the Bills and Dolphins tied, same record, but technically the way it lines out is the Bills finish second, Dolphins finish third, and I got the Patriots dead last.
Yeah, I'm not on the Jets wagon this year. It's just, I don't know what it is.
Jets going to be the Jets.
I think, yeah. I mean, when has anything good happened to the New York Jets? And right. It just seems like too much change at once, too much hype, the Hard Knocks, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, are we sure he's still that guy? I could very, very well eat my words because they do have a ton of talent. But I could just see Aaron Rodgers' personality sort of not working with this team. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being too optimistic for my fins. But with that, I got the Dolphins winning the division, baby. I think if Tua's healthy, this team is going to be one of the best in the entire AFC. It's going to be close. I got Dolphins, Bills, Jets, 1-2-3. I think it's going to be like one game separating all of those teams. Maybe week 18, Dolphins, Bills decides the division. And then I have the Patriots in last.
So that's one thing that we agree on.
All right, AFC West, I think, like I said, I think this might be the only one we would have the same. I have Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, Raiders is my order.
Correct. That's okay. What I got too. And I got the, you know what? I want to say one thing. I think the Broncos are going to have a bounce back year. I think the Broncos, I have them listed as 10-7, finishing 10-7. Maybe it's a little bit too optimistic, but I think they are in for a overall better season than they were last year, which is I mean, it's not that hard. They were one of the laughing stocks. But yeah, that is exactly how I have that division.
I think you can actually make a case for the Broncos as well as the most intriguing team.
They are very intriguing. Like, I almost put them as my intriguing team.
Sean Payton comes in, he's trying to change the culture, bashing the previous head coach, which is wild. And then you got Russell Wilson, who's getting paid a ton of money. Is he the Hall of Famer that we saw him earlier in his career? Or is he just going to be completely terrible again like he was last year? So many questions. But yeah, that is the AFC West. We will move on to the AFC South.
All right. Well, let's get into the AFC South. Another pretty, I don't want to say the division sucks, but it kind of sucks. Outside of like one team. I mean, the Titans are always a team that are intriguing because they're very well coached and they seem to always be there, but I feel like this is the year that the Titans sort of fall back. I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little bit too pessimistic when it comes to the Titans, but I got the Jags finishing atop. Shocker, I know. Titans, Colts, then Texans.
I actually have the exact same order coming in. I do think the Jaguars are a little similar to the Lions.
Yes.
In the sense that like, we're just putting them as a shoe-in to the playoffs. I do have them winning the division, so I do have them making the playoffs. But I think the Titans are going to push them a little harder than people think. And the Titans were winning that division easily before Ryan Tannehill went down last year. And I know Trevor Lawrence had this insane back half. And it looks now that he has a great head coach. Things are starting to click for this team. And then you got the two, we'll call them bottom feeders, CJ Stroud and Anthony Richardson. They got two rookie quarterbacks starting. Both some pretty, pretty terrible rosters. The rookies are in a tough place. But, I mean, you never know. One of these rookies can just
I'm going to watch a lot of Colts games this year. I feel like they're going to be an exciting team just to watch them. I don't know. I think Anthony Richardson's like one of the most. He's one of the guys that like I almost put for our previous segment in terms of like just being overall intriguing. Like I want to see, because the way I see it is with Anthony Richardson specifically is like if you're talking, like you saw what the Eagles did with Jalen Hurts, right? And at the very least. Could he be what Hurts is as a runner? I think he could be better.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that worries me is, I mean, Jalen Hurts is throwing to A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, yes. and Dallas Goedert. I mean, after Michael Pittman, who, I mean, I'm not sold on as a wide receiver one. I think he's a good wide receiver two. Anthony Richardson's got nothing. Yes. And if Jonathan Taylor doesn't play with the Colts, which it sounds like, even if he doesn't get traded.
Well, they're saying that today's the deadline.
So, I mean, by the time this goes out, this could become completely outdated. But, I mean, like, if Jonathan Taylor isn't on this team, it's slim pickings for talent. Yes. And that's on both sides of the ball. But, yeah, I'm excited to see both the Colts and Texans. Hopefully, they get better as the season goes on. And that's what you want to see when you have a young quarterback and a new head coach. So, yeah, the AFC South, we got the same order, the Jags. Probably going to win it just because they have far and away the best quarterback. But I think at the top it could be a little closer than we think. Let's move on to the NFC. We'll start in the NFC North. We talked about the Lions. We talked about the Bears when it comes to disappointment, when it comes to being intriguing. What is your order for the NFC North?
This one I got, it's crazy because I actually have a three-way tie in terms of records. But the way it comes out is I got the Bears.
Wow, okay.
The Vikings and the Lions. I got it in that order. I got the Bears finishing first. I don't know how the tiebreaker worked on the schedule predictor, but I have them, all three of those teams that have finishing 10-7. And I have the last place team, the Packers, only at 8-9, though. I think they're going to be a solid team. I think they're still probably a year or two away for being back to the Packers that they were with Aaron Rodgers. I could also see the Packers being a little better than 8-9, maybe like 9-10 wins. I think 10 wins is probably their ceiling. But yeah, this is a very intriguing division, to be honest. I think it's going to be way closer than a lot of people think. And just the way my predictions sort of just laid on top of each other, it was the Bears, the Vikings, the Lions, then the Packers.
I actually have the reverse order of what you predicted.
Really?
You
have the Packers coming in.
I have the Packers coming in first.
I wouldn't be shocked if that happened either.
I'm really, really high on Jordan Love. I think he's going to have a big season for the Green Bay Packers team. This is now going to be Matt LaFleur's team. Before it was, you know, Matt LaFleur trying to do his thing, Aaron Rodgers trying to do his thing, and at times, I mean, they won 13 games.
Two or three years in a row.
Like, Matt LaFleur right now has the best win percentage of any head coach in NFL history, obviously with a minimum of a certain amount of games. The Packers, I think, are a very underrated roster. I like a lot of the pieces on defense. They've gotten younger on that side of the ball. The O-line is still intact. And I think now we're finally going to be able to see Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, which might be the best backfield in the NFL, take the pressure off of Jordan Love. And he has looked good every time his name has been called, whether it's been in the regular season. I know you can't buy too much into preseason, but he has looked good there as well. And I'm excited to see a fresh face under center for Green Bay. I have them winning the division. I have the Lions and Vikings tied in second. I'm really teeter-tottering of who I'm going to give that tiebreaker to. I think it's going to be very, very close. And then I do have the Bears coming up in fourth. I just need to see it before I believe it with them, for whatever reason, because with the Packers, I'm giving it to them before I've really seen it with Jordan Love. But with the Bears, I need a little bit more before I can come around.
It's my favorite, like, sort of, because every single, you know what I mean? It's like the worst to the first stat. Yeah, what is that, yeah. Right? That's my favorite pick.
I'm like that with the Falcons. I've talked about them already. And I mean, I guess with that, we can just get into the NFC South because do have the Falcons winning that division. And they did come in last season. Although it's kind of like a fake last just because so many teams were neck and neck. But I have Falcons, Saints, Panthers, Bucks. Saints are a team. If you look at their roster, I think you can convince yourself into that they're going to win the division. And yes, they have the most proven quarterback. I just see things not clicking there. Dennis Allen and Derek Carr, they've worked together before. It didn't work out. Dennis Allen is a head coach. You talked about it earlier. Doesn't have a great track record. Much better served as a coordinator. I just don't see things clicking and coming to fruition for New Orleans. And the Falcons have all the talent in the world on offense. They have a very, very feisty defense. I think they were in so many close games last year, and I think there's no reason why, if everyone takes a step, why they can't win this division. And then I got the Panthers. I think it might be tough with Bryce Young as a rookie, and the Bucks. I mean, I don't even say much about Baker Mayfield and those Bucks.
I got the exact same order.
Yeah,
exact same order. I think it's just, you know what I mean? It's crazy that you said the Falcons finished last that year, because they did, but they were also in the playoff race, like
they were
in like week 16.
It just kind of fell apart for them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, I got that exact same order, and I guess we'll take that right to the NFC West.
I'm getting a little bold here again. I have the Seahawks winning the division.
I like it.
You could have convinced me a couple months ago that a Geno Smith regression is coming, but the more and more I've looked into this team...
I hope. I love Geno. It's such a good story.
It's a great story. The more I've looked at this team and the weapons that they've had, I see Geno replicating what he did last year, if them being even better. JSN's going to be healthy. DK and Tyler Lockett, like that trio is, you could argue, disgusting. It's one in the league. Maybe Stu, it's top three for sure in terms of weapons. I'm excited to see year two Kenneth Walker. They invested in Zach Charbonnet. Fantasy owners might be complaining, but I mean, from an actual offensive perspective, keeping Kenneth Walker fresh is so, so important, because we did see him wear out and get a little banged up last year. I'm into the Seahawks. They got a lot of good young talent on the defensive side of the ball. And Pete Carroll, yeah, he's getting a little older, but he continues to prove that he's a good head coach. So I have them winning. I'm uncertain about the 49ers quarterback position. Can Brock Purdy replicate, which was a very, very nice 6-7 game stretch last year? Can he keep that going? I'm not fully 100% sure. Love Kyle Shanahan. Love the defense. I think this division is going to be a lot closer than people think, so I'm going to go bold and pick the 49ers. Rams, Cardinals, 3-4. I got nothing to say there.
You know what, Puck? I think you kind of...
I'm convincing you on the Seahawks?
You're convincing me on the Seahawks. Not that you're... I know that the Seahawks are good. I just have my doubts with how... With whether or not Geno's going to be able to replicate what he did last year. Like, I expect a slight step back, but I can't... Like, I look at my predictions here, and like, I can't use that as a knock to the Seahawks and then keep the 49ers at 12-5 when it's at least Geno's been in the league for 9 years. Yeah. Whether it's been however how you know what I mean, he's been bounced around as a backup and whatever. But I'm not going to change my predictions, but I'm definitely more open to seeing Seattle winning the division as opposed to I have Seattle finishing 10-7, but I have San Francisco coming up at top at 12-5. I could see those sort of records being flipped, or even maybe even to the 49ers having 11 wins, 10 wins, and that's really the neck and neck. I got the Rams in third as well, and then I got the Cardinals. I don't think the Cardinals are winning a game this year. I really don't.
I saw they're plus 1,800.
Plus 1,800. It's terrible odds, by the way. Like, no, why would you bet that? I don't know. It should be, like, if you're looking, how many times has 0-16 been done?
I know. Never.
It's hard. It's harder to go 0-16 than it is to go. Times. Sorry, 17 now. Yeah. It's harder to go 0-17 to go than 17-0. In my opinion,
they're going to win a game.
They're going to win a game
at some point. But it's hard to see why they'll ever win a game.
But at my prediction's sake, I got 0-17. I just clicked loss. Yeah. Loss.
I'll just clarify a little bit. Like, I think the 49ers should be favorites, and I understand why they are. I'm more so just being a little bold here and saying, like, there's a possibility that the Seahawks push.
But I think it's calculated bold. Like, it's not like you're not just, like, throwing a dart. It's not like you're saying, oh, the Cardinals are going to win the division, right? Like, it's calculated. Like, the Seahawks are a great team. And, like, they added so much talent. And they already had talent. And they had Pete Carroll. And right? Like, they're doing a lot of good things in Seattle. And I feel like now the new era of Seattle is, like, more team-oriented. As opposed to, obviously this is me just speculating, but as opposed to with Russell Wilson, it was more about what Russ wanted. So I think that's better for the team. I'm definitely intrigued about Seattle. I love watching Seattle. Last year, I mean, we were like huge Geno guys last year.
Yeah, I loved
Geno. We were like the CTB Seattle Seahawks podcast last year.
Which is weird because I think in the past, everyone's told us that we like hate Seattle. Yeah. I don't know why.
For some reason, they say we don't like Seattle. We don't like the Raiders.
I don't like the Raiders.
Yeah, I don't like the Raiders either. But that's like we're public enemy number one with the Raiders fans. But yeah, I don't know. Last year, for those like listen to every single episode, we were like all over the Seahawks.
Yeah. All right, we got one division left, and that is the NFC East. And Kat, right now, I have your Cowboys winning the division. I mean, listen, the Eagles are a phenomenal team. They probably should have won the Super Bowl based on how the game went and how they played last year. And I don't think Jalen Hurts is in for any big regression. I'm buying into the idea that
the Cowboys are good. They got better.
Yeah, the Cowboys are good.
They got better last year than they were.
Their defense is going to be phenomenal. I'm excited to see how Dak does with McCarthy calling the plays. I'm just sort of buying into the idea that these two teams are both very good. They both played in a lot of tight games last year. Maybe this year more bounces go the Cowboys' way, and they find themselves winning the division. Like I think it's unfair to expect the Eagles to replicate whatever they were last year, 15-2 or 14-3, like that is very, very hard to do. And nobody ever is a repeat champion in this division. So I got the Cowboys and Eagles. I think those two are going to be neck and neck. And then I have the Commanders in third, just because I picked Sam Howell as a breakout candidate. And I have the Giants in fourth, which I genuinely really do feel bad about because I think this team is being a little bit overlooked. They did a lot of great things last year. Year two of Brian Daboll. I could even see them improving. But I do think this is a tough division, so I have them in fourth.
See, I for the non-jinxing sake, I got the Cowboys finishing second. But I do think, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's the bias side of me, but I feel like there's so much negative energy this offseason when it comes to talk around the Cowboys. Like all of a sudden, we care about training camp picks and training camp fights. Like, I don't know. I don't guess people haven't played competitive sports before. I don't know, whatever. But I feel like all the talk that's coming out of the Cowboys this year as negative, that almost makes them overlooked. People are forgetting that they added Brandon Cooks, Stephon Gilmore. Like they added playmakers. And I don't know. For me, I'm not going to just go out here and say the Cowboys are going to win this division because it's something the Eagles are very good. I just wouldn't be shocked if the Eagles take a little step back because, I mean, last year, a lot of guys on their team had, like, career years. Mm-hmm. So it's very hard to just replicate that again. Do I think Jalen Hurts is going to fall off a cliff? No. Do I think Jalen Hurts is going to be an MVP candidate again this year? I don't know. I don't think so. But A.J. Brown's still very good. Devontae Smith's still very good. Their offensive line is still fantastic. So it wouldn't shock me if he is able to piggyback where he was last year. With that being said, I still think the Eagles maybe have the edge as of right now. And again, like you mentioned, there hasn't been a back-to-back winner in the NFC East since 2004. And that also happened to be the Eagles. So I think it might happen again this year and that sort of streak ends. I wouldn't be shocked, but I think the Eagles and the Cowboys are both capable of winning 13, 14 games this year. So that could, I mean, the Eagles could win this division at 14 wins, and the Cowboys could have 13, right? So I think that's sort of where I stand right now. I got the Eagles 1, Cowboys 2. I got the Giants 3. I think the Giants are going to regress a little bit. I think they're just going to be hover around 500 there, maybe slightly below it. And then I got the Commanders. I think the Commanders, like I mentioned earlier in the show, the Commanders are going to have a fantastic, or I should say much better record against the spread than I feel like their actual record will suggest. But I think it's a very good division, very talented. It's obviously one of the better divisions to watch because it's always close games no matter what. And I'm excited for it. But that wraps up sort of the records. And we'll jump right into who, I guess, is our 7 playoff teams in each conference, right?
Yeah, I'll start with the AFC. From those record predictions, my 7, and this is in order of seeding, I have Chiefs 1, Dolphins 2, Ravens 3, Jaguars 4. So those are the 4 division winners. That's no surprise. I'd already said that. And then my 3 wildcard teams, and this is where it gets really tough. I can't see a world where the Bills and Bengals, I already think it's very bold to have them both not winning their divisions. So I have them as 2 of the 3 wildcards. And my final wildcard, this is where I had some fun. I've been singing their praises all episode long. I have the Pittsburgh Steelers making the playoffs. So, yes, means that the Los Angeles Chargers with star quarterback Justin Herbert don't make the playoffs. Maybe in the long run, this actually helps them, because I think if that happens, Brandon Staley is out the door. I don't believe in him as the coach to take the Chargers to the Super Bowl, and I think they have the quarterback that is capable of winning a Super Bowl. So, yeah, Chargers are my big, big omission. And I guess even the Broncos, it would be another tough season to not see them in the playoffs. That's my AFC.
Yeah, I like it, Pac. I mean, I got the Chiefs one. I got the Jets finishing as the 2 seed. I have the Bengals as the 3 seed. I have the Jaguars as the 4. And then my wild card teams, I got in the 5th seed, I got the Bills. I got the Dolphins. And I got the Chargers taking that last spot. So I got Baltimore.
So no Browns for you.
I got no Browns. I got the Browns just missing out. I got the Browns at 10-7.
I mean, there's the right? AFC.
I don't want to go crazy. I didn't want to go crazy high with the Browns. I think the Browns are going to be good. I think there's scenarios where they are a playoff team. But in terms of trying to be as accurate as possible, that's what I came up with. So I got the Chiefs, Jets, Bengals, Jaguars, Bills, Dolphins, Chargers. So no Ravens, no Broncos, no Browns, no Steelers. Yeah, that's what my AFC looks like.
I think if this episode is taught us anything, it's just how wide open things are.
It is wide open.
Because last year, I didn't have a problem. Last year, there were surprises. But last year, I never had a problem picking playoff teams. We went into the season with the set expectation of these teams are going to be good. These teams are going to suck. This year, there's so much mystery, so much unknown. And with that, I got pretty wild with my NFC. I have the Cowboys as the 1 seed, the Seahawks as the 2 seed, the Packers as the 3 seed, and the Falcons as the 4. So I think my 4 division winners, none of them are favorites. Call me crazy, but guys, this is the NFL. It's the most entertaining. It's the most thrilling. It's the most unexpected. You know the ads they've been running recently. You can't script this stuff. And that's something that, yeah, it's wild, but I could see it happening. Parlay these 4 future odds. You'd probably make a ton of money. Probably won't hit. But anyways, that is my NFC division winners predictions. And then my wild card teams, of course, the 49ers and Eagles. I have them in the playoffs. Last one I've written down, Lions or Vikings. You know what? I called the Lions.
Commit to it.
I said the Lions are my biggest disappointment. With that, I have to put the Vikings in. I think Kirk Cousins is the more proven quarterback, and they have more star power, Justin Jefferson.
By the end of my predictions here, my 7 playoff teams, we might also have to add public enemy number 1 to the Lions.
Yeah, sorry.
Which is a shame, because if they watched us just a couple, just this time last year, we were harping. This same episode last year, Pac stood there and said, Pac's Lions.
Do you remember the team you said? Your Panthers.
The Panthers, because I was on Baker Mayfield. Oh, that was a bad pick. But then I changed it to the Jaguars. Doesn't count, though. Okay, so I got the Eagles as the 1 seed. I got the Niners as the 2 seed. Boring. Probably won't happen. But I got the Bears as the 3 seed. I got the Falcons as the 4 seed, Cowboys 5, Seahawks 6. And like I alluded to just 30 seconds ago, I have the Vikings.
Does it sound? So we both have the Lions missing.
No Lions, no Giants, any big name teams, no Rams. I mean, not that the Rams are expected to make the playoffs, but yeah, I mean, that's sort of what it's looking like. As I sort of started talking throughout the segment, I don't know how much I love my predictions, but I mean, even if you love your predictions, the majority of the time they're going to be wrong, right?
Yeah.
But that's what makes the NFL so great, is that you think you know, as soon as you think, the complete opposite happens. So I would not be surprised if this is completely different. If there's a 1 seed, I mean, maybe I would be a little shocked if one of my 1 seeds didn't make the playoffs entirely. But at the same time, I wouldn't. From a 30-foot view after the fact, if I saw the Eagles and the Chiefs, one of them missing the playoffs, I'd probably be like, okay, that's crazy in the moment. But then, like, you take a step back and it's like, it is the NFL after all. Like, yeah. it would not shock me. So
look at last year, the Rams won the Super Bowl, right? They didn't make the playoffs.
They were terrible last year. Not even just that. I mean, they had their luck with injuries, but that's the whole point. Like, that's part of it, right? That's the part of not being shocked. So there, that gives our regular season predictions. I'm sure there are some heated fans that are listening to this and saying, oh, how didn't you have my team a little higher? But it is what it is. That's all personal preference. I mean, there's gonna be plenty of times to clown both of us throughout the season. I'm sure of it. And the last sort of segment of our show to wrap it all up, I guess you can call this show week 0 This is the week zero, like how the NFL, how college football does week zero last year, last week. That's funniest week of the season, in my opinion. And we'll go right into our NFL award predictions. So we're going to pick MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Defense Player of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year.
All right, we'll start with everyone's favorite, and that's the MVP. And yeah, it's just become a quarterback award, and I mean, it's been a while since a non-quarterback has won this award. Is that changing for you at all this year?
No, I think it's a quarterback-driven award. I think they might as well just change it to the QVP or the MVQ.
Most valuable quarterback.
Most valuable quarterback.
All right, who do you have winning?
I got Aaron Rodgers.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not on board with that at all. I've said, I think the Jets aren't going to make the playoffs. I have them missing. I see a letdown season from this franchise, a franchise that has done nothing but let their fans down. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid on the New York Jets. I got Lamar Jackson for my MVP.
Wow.
I think the way he started last year, I think he was almost on this MVP pace. Will he be as dominant as he was in 2019? Maybe not. But if you look at the weapons that he now has, I think he'll be better as a passer. He'll still do his thing on the ground. And I think he's going to take the Baltimore Ravens very, very far this season. So I have him winning the award.
That's a good pick. Offensive player of the year, who you got?
I got Tyreek Hill. He said he was going to go for 2,000 yards. That's a little bold. Tyreek Hill loves to stir the pot. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen. But he had 1,700 last year.
Is it bold?
I mean, he had 1,700 last year. He played every game.
Like, if he plays every game, he's going to have a few games.
I'll say this. If Tua
if goes
plays
over 200,
every game,
yeah.
With Tua's pace last year, he was on pace for about 1,850 yards. Just got to get a little better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mike Gesicki's gone. I hope that the team runs the ball a little bit more. Jaylen Waddle is going to take a lot of those yards away. But regardless, I think he's going to win the Offensive Player of the Year. I think he's going to have a very, very dominant season.
I like that pick. That's a very good pick. I didn't even think about him when I was putting Offensive Player of the Year because I just think Mahomes is going to...
So that's where I find... I think if a quarterback is good enough to win MVP...
They would win Offensive Player of the Year.
What makes him not win Offensive Player of the Year?
See, the reason why I think there's just so much... It's going to be a toss-up between these two where it's going to be like, okay, this is my prediction, obviously. I think the Jets and the Chiefs are going to be the two best teams in the conference.
Okay.
And it's going to be like, it's sort of like, oh, are we going to give it to Mahomes again? Or like, are we going to give it to Aaron Rodgers who came into, just left Green Bay, went to the Jets and propelled the Jets? But we're talking about a franchise that's like borderline poverty. Like what have the Jets done?
They got the longest playoff drought in pro sports right now.
So if he's able to like change that, I feel like that is
worthy. It's a narrative award at the
exactly,
end of the day,
right?
And
I feel like they're
media,
able to
big
exactly.
Market.
So that's where I am here. Obviously, if you look at my, it's like, oh, why would if Mahomes could win Offensive Player of the Year, why wouldn't he win MVP? I just think it's such a unique season that if the Jets season goes the way I think it will, Aaron Rodgers will win MVP, and Patrick Mahomes is going to have a fantastic year. But I think it's just going to be slotted in for Offensive Player of the Year.
I can understand the philosophy in that one. Defensive player of the year. I'm going to go on brand. It's turning into Pac Steelers this year. I'm gonna pick TJ Watt. I talked about how good they are when he's healthy. I think this is a guy who can put up 20-plus sacks. He is just so, so good, and he's chasing his brother. That, I think, is motivation for him. And if the Steelers make the playoffs, I think he'll win defensive player of the year.
I like it. I got another defensive lineman, except his name is Micah Parsons. I think he has been so overdue for a defensive player of the year award. Obviously, there's a ton of defensive talent in the NFL, but I think Parsons is due for one. I think he's just, when you watch him, he is spectacular. I haven't seen a defensive player quite like him in my lifetime, at least. He truly is so special, and it's like it's impossible to not notice him when he's on the field. That's how much of an impact he makes. He's so fast, he's so twitchy. It's crazy. He's able to do so many things right, and I think he's such a big part of the Cowboys that is just going to keep him in this award conversation as long as he stays healthy for a very long time. And I think he's sort of due for one, and I think he's going to get his this year.
I could see it happening. I mean, he was so close last year, and I think Bosa kind of just pulled away
at
the tail end, and that hurt him, because we all remember the last 4 weeks of the season more than we remember the first 4 weeks of the season. But yeah, great pick there. Let's get into the rookies. Offensive rookie of the year. I was a little boring with mine. I like Jahmyr Gibbs a lot, but hard not to pick Bijan Robinson. And I'm going to go out and do it. I'm going to pick Bijan.
Okay. I was going to say, because I don't have Bijan either.
Yeah.
I was going to, if neither of us took Bijan,
I was going to say, yeah. If someone has to say Bijan, because he's just, to me, the heavy favorite. Like, I could see a Saquon Barkley type of rookie season from this
guy. Yeah, I think Bijan's going to have a fantastic year. But there's one player that I am super high on that I think is going to have a fantastic year. And he's someone that I think is exactly what Baltimore has been looking for so long. I mean, they tried the Rashad Bateman. They tried the Antonio Brown. They tried the Marquise Brown and all that. And it just hasn't clicked. And I'm talking about Zay Flowers. I think Zay Flowers is in for a fantastic rookie year. And I just watched him a little bit in the preseason. I mean, I don't take too much. I take it with a grain of salt, I should say. But Zay Flowers is, in my opinion, going to be phenomenal. And a big piece of this Baltimore Ravens offense. And if it aligns with your pick, who knows?
If Lamar wins MVP, he could very well be that O'Roy. So that, I like that. If there's one receiver I could see it going to, I would probably pick Zay Flowers. I heard Lamar's calling him like the joystick, which was like Kadarius Toney's name, which is obviously not a great comparison with how Toney's career's gone. But I'm big on Zay Flowers. I think he's got the speed. I think he can make guys miss. Like you said, exactly what Baltimore needs. Defensive rookie of the year. Go ahead.
I got Jalen Carter.
I have Jalen Carter too, which I think
it's a boring pick, but like,
but I mean, you could go with Will Anderson.
Yeah,
usually.
I just think Philadelphia is they're. I mean, it's hard to. I struggle with Will Anderson because he's on Houston.
Yeah,
right. I suppose the Philly's going to get the national attention.
I think like if anything, though, the rookie of the years are always like, who cares about the record?
Yeah, no, you're just, right. You're definitely right, but yeah. I don't know how many eyeballs are going to be on Will Anderson.
Yeah, the one, like, and I'm going against myself here. When I thought about, when I put Jalen Carter, I'm like, you know what? Defensive line, nose tackle, it's not really like a sexy pick. Like, how often do we really see those guys getting all the attention? Other than Aaron Donald, of course, who's just an anomaly. But yes, I do have Jalen Carter. We both agree on that. And Coach of the Year, which I always think is like the most fun award to predict, because you can really say anyone and convince someone on why that's going to happen. Who do you have?
I got Mike McCarthy.
A homer, absolute homer.
No,
pick.
Not even a homer pick. I just think. Okay, this season's going to go one of two ways for Mike McCarthy. He's either going to be fired midseason or he's going to have a fantastic year. And I think that given the fact that he told Kellen Moore to go somewhere else. I don't want to say the way how it actually went, but and he's sort of calling plays now. So like, there's a lot on McCarthy's shoulders. And if the Cowboys are as good as people think they would, I think McCarthy almost deserves it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's there's a lot riding on his shoulders. And if he's able to pass the test with flying colors and the Cowboys are going into the playoffs with 13 wins or 12 wins even, I think he definitely deserves some credit. And if the offense is rolling, which I think they might be or they should be, I think he's definitely going to be in the conversation. I didn't want to go boring like Andy Reid or right, like I want to go off the board. So like, I think that if we're talking a very scrutinized head coach by myself too, I definitely have given Mike McCarthy a few words in the past. I think that this year could be a little different, and I think he's honestly coaching for the remainder of his career. I really do think so, because I don't think Mike McCarthy is going to get another shot as an NFL head coach. So I think he's sort of on his last draw. So he's going to come out all guns blazing. I think he's going to have the Cowboys ready for a big year.
I don't hate it. Like I said, I picked the Cowboys to go out and win their division and be the number one seed in the NFC. If that happens, I can see Mike McCarthy doing that. My coach of the year pick, it's interesting because you had Aaron Rodgers winning MVP and the Jets making the playoffs. Rodgers sort of gets the last laugh at Green Bay. I had the Jets missing the playoffs and Green Bay winning their division. I'm picking Matt LaFleur to win Coach of the Year. I think he's going to prove to everyone how great of a head coach he is. I think he's going to coach Jordan Love up to have a phenomenal franchise-worthy quarterback season. The defense is there. The run game is there. I think Green Bay has all the tools to win the NFC North, and Matt LaFleur is going to further cement himself into that elite of the elite level of coaches in this league and continue to just win games. He's my pick. And I think the Packers are in for a big, big season.
I like it. I like that pick too. I think I could see a scenario where the Packers have a very good year. And they're another intriguing team. I think what we've learned from this show is that there's so much intrigue in this season. I can't wait personally to watch it. I think we're in for a fantastic year. When are we not? But yeah, it's been a while. And that was awesome. I really enjoyed that season three on the underway of the CTV show. And it's going to be a fantastic year. I think we're going to do a lot of fun stuff this year. Wishing that, a lot of positive health, a lot of success to your teams, even if we just sort of pooped on them over the last hour or so. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I hope you guys tune in every single week. We look forward to this. It's a sort of the highlight of my week. Personally, I love waking up in the morning. Or staying late at night and just recording these, pumping them out for you guys. It's awesome. We like to thank you guys for the support. We hope that you guys are as excited for this season as we are. And Pac, any last words for you?
Yeah, guys, we are going to be back doing these weekly. So make sure you're subscribing. Make sure you're following. We appreciate all the support. We are excited for the season. I don't think we've stressed that enough in this episode. So yeah, if you made it to the end, thanks for listening. And we will see you next week.
See you guys.